Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Open up your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. The title of our message, as you can see on the screen behind me, is Two Faithful Spies. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, loving Father, as we just read in our scripture reading, Jesus said, if we want to be perfect, to sell what we have and give to the poor. And Lord, we know that that rich young ruler walked away sorrowful because he had plenty. But Lord, he was not rich towards God or towards others. And Lord, we want to learn from that lesson. And we want to be faithful. And we want to give and give and give. So we pray the Holy Spirit would stir our hearts and our minds today. And that, Lord, you would show us what you would have us do. We pray and ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You have your Bibles open to Numbers chapter 13. Look with me in verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Here we see that Moses was told by God to send spies into the promised land. They were to go into the land and check it out. They were to see what the obstacles were, the things that they needed to overcome. They needed to discover the layout of the land. They needed to see the people. They needed to see the vegetation. They needed to determine if, in fact, it was a land that God had described to them. He had described it as a land flowing with milk and honey. Was it, in fact, a rich and beautiful land that He had promised them? And so Moses sent 12 spies, one leader from each of the tribes of Israel, into the land. And notice what they said when they came back. Here in Numbers 13, look with me at verse 27. It says, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is some of the fruit. And so they came back, and they gave a part of their report. They said, it is exactly what God said it would be. It is a beautiful land. It is a rich land. It is a place where we can see ourselves growing old, our children growing up, and we can hand down this land from one generation to another. It is a good land. And if they would have stopped there, it would have been beautiful. It would have been as was expected of them, but they didn't. They continued on in verse 28, and they said, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. They said, yes, it's true. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a good land. It's exactly what God promised us. But there are too many obstacles. We cannot overcome them all. But I want you to notice, if we go back to Numbers 13, verse 1, I want you to notice that God said to them, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to you. God had promised them that He would give them the land. It was theirs. All they had to do was trust Him and follow his direction, and the land would be theirs. Well, you know the story, don't you? Caleb and Joshua, two of those 12 spies, were faithful. And they gave a faithful report. They said, yes, there are obstacles, but we can overcome them with God on our side. But the other 10 spies gave a faithless report. They said, no, we can't take the land. And notice in Numbers 14, verse 2, it says, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. You know the story. They said they couldn't do it. They were concerned that Moses had brought them here so that they would die trying to take the land, that all of their children were going to die. And you'll remember that God said to them, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go back out into the wilderness, and you are all going to die there, but I'm going to bring your children into the land. Those children that you seem to be concerned about, I will bring them into this land. And you can read through the book of Numbers, and you can see what happened in the next 40 years as they were wandering in the wilderness. You can read about the rebellion of Korah and his followers. You can read about the fiery serpents and the bronze snake that was lifted up in the wilderness. You can read the story of Balaam and Balak. You can read the story of the victory that they had over the kings east of the Jordan. You can read about the death of Moses. And you can read about the coronation of Joshua as the next leader of Israel. But finally, after this entire generation has died off, every one of them except Joshua and Caleb. And I'd like you to notice what Joshua does. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. And notice what Joshua does in verse 1. The Bible says, now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. I want you to notice here that Joshua sends how many spies into the land? Two. Previously, there were 12 spies, but only two of them were faithful. And I ask you, why now does Joshua send two spies into the land? Why not 12 again like Moses had done? Well, there are probably several reasons, but I'd like you to notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be established. And so Joshua sends the minimum number into the land to spy it out. Well, last week, two faithful spies went to El Salvador. You recognize me. The gentleman on the right there is Mark Clare, the head elder of the Mount Pleasant Church. We went into El Salvador to spy out the land. But we weren't the only spies. There were actually a pair of spies from four different churches here in Michigan. This gentleman right here in the blue shirt is Pastor Ron Kelly of the Village Church in Berrien Springs. And this gentleman over here on the left is John, one of his elders. Here you have Pastor Ariel Roldan and his elder Steve from the Oakwood Church. I don't know if you know where Oakwood is, but it's right next to the Detroit airport. Then you have here in the back Alex Rybacek, the pastor of the Goebbels Church, and one of his elders, Lyle, and then Mark and I. Four groups of men from four different churches here in Michigan spying out the land. As you can see from this map, El Salvador is the smallest country in Central America. But what this map doesn't show you is that even though it's the smallest country, it is the most densely populated. As of 2016, there were 6.4 million people in El Salvador. If you want to make a comparison so that you can determine the size of this, the country of El Salvador is slightly smaller than the state of Massachusetts. And the state of Massachusetts has slightly more people in it, 6.9 million people in Massachusetts. But there's one huge difference between the two. The average income in Massachusetts is $6,275 a month. The average income in El Salvador is $660 a month. Less than 10% of the income of every family in Massachusetts. And yet, everything in El Salvador costs the same or more than it does right here. Notice the gas price, $3.33 a gallon. On my way to Mount Pleasant this morning, I saw a gas station that had it for $2.29. So it's more than a dollar a gallon more in El Salvador. Everything costs the same or more. And if you wanted to purchase a piece of land in El Salvador, a small lot that is about 100 feet by 300 feet would cost you $15,000 for a lot in the country. If you wanted to buy that same exact piece of land in the city of San Salvador, which is the largest city that they have, that same lot, 100 by 300, would cost you $100,000. Now I ask you, brothers and sisters, how can anyone afford to buy a piece of land that is barely big enough to get a building on it for $15,000 when all they make is $660 a year? That is almost impossible. Land is so precious that it goes for that steep of a price. And people have it handed down from their family to them generation after generation. And so the only way that someone is going to sell it is if they get the asking price. Just so you have a comparison, a couple of years ago, I bought some land in Kalkaska and I paid just under $2,000 an acre. And here, for a half an acre, you pay $15,000. What you have here is hyperinflation. And in 2001, the El Salvador government adopted the U.S. dollar as their currency in hopes of trying to get this hyperinflation under check, but it hasn't worked. In the communities that we saw, the best job that a poor person could get would be harvesting coffee, where you could make $12 if you worked an 11-hour day. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. What you're talking about here is an extremely poor people. And most of the time, they will give everything that they have to purchase a piece of property to build a church on. But once the church has bought the property, they don't have any money left to build the building. And so while we were there spying out the land, we went and we looked at various locations where they are wanting to build a church. They don't have the money. And so they're asking us to help them. I want you to notice that right here in this area on the bottom of the map is where the El Salvador airport is. We left the airport, came up through San Salvador to this little town of San Juan Opico. That's where we stayed while we were there. But we didn't spend a lot of time where we were lodging. We were going from location to location looking at the land where they were trying to build a church. And one of the first places that we went was up here into this area around Santa Ana, to the location of this church. Now, what's interesting about this church is there was actually a building there. They had a church established. It's been there for many years. But they had an earthquake, and the building was damaged, and they need to tear it down. But they didn't want to completely tear down the building and not have anything. So what they did is they built a new building on the outside of it. And you look in this picture, here you see this window, here's the old wall, and here there's going to be a window on the new building that they are building there. Here you can see the doorway. They have an arched opening for the new building, but the old building is the square entryway inside. Here is a picture of that window. You can see the old brick wall behind it. And here is a picture of the walls. The one on the right is the old building. The one on the left is the new. They built it right next to the foundation so that they can keep meeting in the church that they have while they build a new one. But the only problem is they took everything that they had. People mortgaged their homes and their property to get money to get as far as they did, but they ran out of money. They cannot finish the building. And so they were asking for our help. When we left there, we went up into this area right here, Ahuchapan, which is right along the Guatemala border. And we went to this piece of property here. In this picture, I was standing on the road, and the people of the church came that morning, and they cut the vegetation away. They cut some steps up into the land so that we can get up there and see this piece of land that they have purchased. In this picture, I went past everyone, and then I turned around to take this picture. And right here where this woman is, just to the right of her, here is where the steps is going down that was in the previous picture. But I want you to notice a couple of people here. First of all, this gentleman right here on the right, his name is Fidel. Fidel was the treasurer of the union. Now, El Salvador is broken up into two unions, an east and a west. And in every area that we went to, either the president or the treasurer of the union was with us. They felt it was important to be there, and they were there. And so there's Fidel. The gentleman next to him in the dark blue shirt is the pastor of that church. And by the way, every pastor in El Salvador has between 10 and 20 churches. Not one single pastor in El Salvador has a vehicle. They walk, ride a bike, or ride the bus. But they are in their churches every week. This gentleman right here in the striped red shirt is an interesting fellow. He's not from this community, but he came to this community to start a church all by himself. He went from door to door and house to house visiting people, asking them if they would be interested in raising up a church. And 5 months ago, they had 15 people that were a part of their group. In 5 months, they doubled. They now have 30 people that are in this church, and that's the minimum that you can have to become a church. They are now officially a church, and they bought this piece of land. I simply turned around and I took a picture the other way. You can see they have already cleared out the land, and they are already holding worship services on the property. If you look over the top of the trees and you see the mountains, those are the mountains of Guatemala. But they purchased this piece of land $15,000. They did everything they could. They gave everything that they had. They mortgaged, they sold, they gave, and they were able to buy this piece of property. But now they don't have any money to build a building. While we were standing there, the Holy Spirit was moving, and Steve, right here, who is the elder of one of the churches that went with us, he stood up and he said, "Me and my family will give you the $10,000 to build the building." And so they're standing there taking a picture. You have Fidel, the treasurer. You have the gentleman who started the church, and the rest of them are all church members that were there that day. The expectation is that that church will be built between now and March, and when we go back in March, the building will be there, and we will dedicate the building and the congregation. That is the expectation. From there, we went to this site in Chanama. Now, what's interesting about this place, you see this covering right here, and you see this horse standing underneath it. Just to the right of the picture, there was a house. But the gentleman who owns the house is not a Seventh-day Adventist. What did I say? He's not a Seventh-day Adventist. But he's letting them use his house to come together for worship. He's not in the country right now, but he's going to be back in 2 months. And he said, "I need my house back." But right here at the end of this covering, there's a fence. And just to the other side of the fence, you can see this building that's starting to go up. You can see the brick. You can see the structure for the roof. He donated the land to the church. He gave it to them from the fence to the road. Now, I'm standing on the road, and the road goes around the building, and you can see a little bit of the road right here, but there's about 50 feet on the other side of the building between the building and the road. And they want to build another building for classrooms for the children. But everything that they used was donated. The land was donated, the brick, the cement, the roof, everything was given to them, and the people of the church rallied together and they built the building. But they don't have any more money to finish. They need to have a roof put on, they need windows and doors, and they want to build that other building. And so, here are some of the members of the church. This gentleman right here, his name is Victor Emmanuel. He's the oldest member of the church, and he has been praying for years and years and years that there would be a church in his area. This gentleman back in the back is Fidel. That's the treasurer of the union. But this gentleman right here with the checkered shirt, he was the elder of the church. And he described everything to us and how the land was donated to them. And he even talked about the piece of property. As you go around that corner, the mayor of the village owns that property, and the mayor gave them access to his land so that anyone who does have a car and comes, they can park their car on that property rather than parking on the road. But he laid out for us very clearly how they started out with 10 people. They now have 40 people in this church. And the expectation is that as soon as this building is done, they're actually already holding their worship services there. But when the building is done, the statistics of all of the churches in El Salvador, that within 1 year of having a building, the church will be at 60. That's the expectation. And this church is already growing. While we were there, Pastor Alex Rybacek and his elder, Lyle, from the Goebbels Church, stepped up and said, we're going to provide the money to finish the building and to build the second building for them. The expectation is that it will be finished by the time we get there in March, and we will dedicate the building. That evening on November 8th, we went to the church in San Diamongo. This is a church that the village church in Berrien Springs provided $10,000 for them to build this building. And what you can get in an area that has at least the same cost, if not more, than we have right here, what would you expect that you would get for $10,000? You get the foundation, a concrete slab, the walls, a roof, some windows, doors, and some very basic electricity. And the village church paid for that. All of the church members provided the labor. They did all the work themselves. They cleared out the land. They dug the foundation. They poured the cement. They laid the block. They put the roof on. They put the windows in, the electricity, the doors, everything. They did it all themselves. They have the capacity. They have the desire and the drive. They just don't have the resources. Here's another picture. I was keying in on that woman in the chartreuse top there because I noticed that she was cooking. It looks like pancakes there, but what it is it's corn flour, and they flatten it out. They make it really thin, and it's two-sided, and they put inside of it some refried beans or some cheese or both, or sometimes even some jalapenos. They call them pupusa, and they are awesome. Here in this picture, you can see they have a tomato sauce that you can put on it, and then they also have raw cabbage, carrots, and cucumbers, and man, they are good. They fed us that night after the dedication. Here's a picture inside of the church, and I want you to notice how basic it is. They have a cement floor. They have windows. They have lights. And they have plastic chairs. Imagine coming for a worship service and sitting in a plastic chair. But I want you to notice this gentleman right here bending over in the red shirt behind the pastor. This guy is probably in his late 20s, maybe early 30s. He grew up in this community, and he moved away. But somewhere along the way, God got a hold of him. And he said to himself, I need to go back and I need to share Jesus with my family. And so he came back to this community and he started sharing his faith. And they already have 40 members in this church. As soon as they have it dedicated now, next month, they are planning their first evangelism meeting. But they already have 15 people that they are studying the Bible with. How many members did I say there are? 40. 40 members giving 15 Bible studies. The expectation is that within a year, now that they have a building, within a year, they will be at 60. And they will be growing. Here's Pastor Ron Kelly dedicating the building, and Pastor Ariel Roldan is his interpreter. Here is a picture of the baptistry. Up on the platform, you couldn't see it from the picture from the back, but it's built into the platform, and maybe one day they'll get enough money to put some tile on the floor and in the baptistry. But I doubt that they'll be waiting for that to use it. Amen. By the way, out behind the building is the bathroom. It's a brand new building. It's just an outhouse. But that's where they go to the bathroom. The following day, on Friday the 9th, we looked at the facilities that we were staying at in the morning. We spent the whole morning looking at what we are going to be staying in when we go back in March. And I'm going to talk some more about that in a moment. But that afternoon, we went to this church. And this is another one that the Village Church in Berrien Springs gave the $10,000 to build. I actually saw a video of them clearing out the land, digging the foundation, and pouring the concrete, building the walls, putting the roof on. And I was surprised when I saw the little children working. Those little children were going, and they were taking a shovel, and they were digging dirt and putting it in burlap bags. They were putting it over their shoulder. They showed them going through this trail on the woods where they went out in the woods to dump the dirt to get it out of the way so that they could build the building. Every member of the church works. Every one of them helped to build that. And those little children right here, when we got there, they were standing right there in the doorway with smiles this wide on their faces. They were so proud of the church that they had helped to build. But that afternoon, we went to this church and we saw the inside. It's very basic. They haven't finished it yet. They don't have the lights. They don't have the windows and the doors. But they are already using this facility for their worship service. And you want to know why? Because for the past year, this is where they've been meeting. That was the church with a dirt floor, no lighting, where they were meeting until they now have their new facility. And by the way, every church that we went to, as we talked to the people, we asked them, how many days a week do you meet here in your church? And every single one of them told us 3, 4, or 5 days a week. They are not empty buildings sitting there waiting for Sabbath worship. They use those buildings all throughout the week. They have worship service. They have Bible studies. They have fellowship. They meet there. They go out into the community, reaching out to all of the people around them. Well, Friday evening, we went to a town called Koluka, right over here in this Sonsonate district, to this church. This was another one of those churches that the village church in Berrien Springs provided the money for them to build. They have 30 members in the church. But what was very interesting to me is as I walked into this building, I counted the chairs. There were 100 chairs set up. And when we had the dedication, every seat was full. They only have 30 members in that church, but there were 30 people from the community that were there for the dedication, and 15 of those they are having Bible studies with. 30 people in the church giving 15 Bible studies. Now, if you look at the left side of the stage here, here's Pastor Ron Kelly, but right here there's a man going out a door into the back of the building. And if you go back there, you'll see this covering, which was the very first thing that they built when they cleared off the land. And the church has been meeting there for over a year until they finally got a building. Saturday morning, before we went to church, we went right over here to this area above San Salvador to a little town called Apapa. And here in Apapa, we came to this site. Right now, it's a cornfield. But what's interesting about this site is I have a drawing for this area. The people, the church that owns this property already has made up a drawing of the area here. And if you look here in this gray area, this is the property. And this piece of property is bigger than the usual 100 by 300. It is a beautiful piece of property. It's a little bit of a rounded hill, but it can very easily be flattened out. And they want to build a church there. And this woman here in the red is a member of the church. She owned the land. It was handed down to her from generation to generation. It's the only thing that she had of value. But she sold the land to the church. This piece of land is worth more than $15,000. She sold it to them for $3,000. All of the members of the church gave everything that they had, and they purchased the land, but they don't have enough money to build the church. And this woman in red has been praying for 10 years for a church, but she is now dying of cancer, and she is praying that there will be a building there before she dies. Here's another picture. What was interesting to me was you see the corn on the left here. What they do is they put the corn in rows, they plant it, and it grows up, and when it's mature and it's ready to be harvested, they cut off the top and they feed it to their livestock. But they don't harvest the corn, because they don't have anywhere where they can store it. And so they leave it in the field until they need it. Here's a corn cob right here. Here's another one. There's plenty that we saw there. I saw places where they had cut it off, where it was drying there in the field, and in between the rows, they planted another new row of corn. In this particular one, they planted some ivy beans that are growing up the stalks, and I saw the green beans this big hanging there. They were beautiful. But they used the land to the best of their ability. Here we are all standing there, and we are praying. We are praying for the land, and we're praying for a building to be built there. Here's another picture where we are coming down the hill back down to the road. But while we were leaving this property, Mark, Claire, and I, at the same time, were convicted that God wanted us to raise the money to build a church for them there. I shared that information with the Mount Pleasant Church this morning, and they are raising $10,000 to build that building. I want to encourage you that we would do the same thing here, that we would raise $10,000 to build them a building. As we were leaving, I ran into this. This is Pastor Rybacek on the left picture, but the little young man standing next to him is Moses. He's the one I was talking about in the children's story this morning. He's 8 years old. Look at him. He's a sharp-dressed man. But he shares Jesus everywhere he goes. He's a proud member of that church and an 8-year-old deacon. The young man to the right is also a deacon in that church. I believe that the Lord is calling us as a people to raise $10,000 to build a church in El Salvador. Remember what Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15 said, "By the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be established." And I am telling you that we are two faithful witnesses. I'm showing you the need. And I'm hoping that the Lord can impress upon your heart a desire to give to a cause greater than yourself. These people are raising up churches. What they do is when they have a church, they send people out to build another church. They'll start off with about 7 or 8. When they get up to 30, they become a church. Once they have about 30 people, there seems to be a stopping point. That's about all that they can do, because there are many people in this country that is so poor that they look at the church and they say, if your God is truly God, then where's your property? Where's your building? But when they get a church building, they, within a year, will double. They'll be up to 60 within a year. And when they get to 100, they don't keep growing. They start sending people out to raise up another church. They are faithful. They love the Lord. They are hard workers. They will do everything they can. They just don't have the financial resources to be able to build. When we left there, on Sabbath morning, we went to this church in El Paso Chaparral. This is another building that the village church in Berrien Springs gave the $10,000 for them to build. We dedicated that building that Sabbath morning. But we weren't done yet. Later on that afternoon, we went to this building. This is another one that the Berrien Springs Village Church raised $10,000. They are building a building there. You can't see it in this picture, but they actually, in this one, have classrooms in the back of the building. And Sabbath evening, we went to this building. This, coincidentally, is the Village Church in San Salvador. And the Village Church in Berrien Springs gave them the $10,000 to build it. We were there to dedicate the building that night. This church is yet another example of how quickly churches are growing in El Salvador. They started with a mother church not too far away. They sent 7 people out to start working in this area. When they got to 15, they were at a standstill. But then they received the money to build this church. When they finished building it a month ago, and I say finished, it's not finished by any American standards, but it's finished in the fact that it has walls, a roof, lights, and windows and doors. When they finished it a month ago, they held their first evangelistic meeting. They have 30 members in the church. And as a result of that evangelistic effort, they have 30 members giving 30 Bible studies. And they expect within a year they will have 60 members. When they get to 100, they'll become the mother church. They will send people out to start working another area. At the dedication, every seat was full. They had 16 people from 8 other churches around San Salvador that had come that had been helping them build the building. 8 Adventist churches around that area that came and helped them build the building. 16 people, 2 from each church. So why am I telling you all of this? Well, there are 2 reasons. Number 1, Sunday morning before we left to come back, we went to this site. And this is the site when we go back in March, we're going to build a church. Before we get there, the local church will have cleared the land, they will have dug the foundation. They will have poured the foundation and the floor. So we're going to go and we're going to build the walls and we're going to put on the roof. In the 10 days that we're there, from 14 March to 24 March. And I'm asking you this morning, if you would prayerfully consider going with us. We need help. And I'm asking you if you're willing to go. It costs $1,300 per person. But that pays for your airfare, the place where we're going to be sleeping and eating and transportation back and forth from there to this site. Are you willing to go and help build a church there? I've heard people say that everyone needs to go on a mission trip because it will change your life. And I'm going to make you a promise. It's already changed mine. Because I can show you all the pictures that I have, and I have probably 100 more. I can show you all of the pictures, and I see Jackie nodding her head because she just came back from a mission trip. But you can't really get the feel of it. You can't understand it. You can't appreciate it until you've been there. And so I want to encourage you, if you're able, to come. I've got applications right here. I need your application and I need a $200 non-refundable deposit by the end of the year. And then you have from January to March to pay the rest. But I want to encourage anyone who is able to come. And there's a great value in it. Not only are you helping to build a facility for them, but you are building up a treasure in heaven. And those people will remember you when we all get to heaven. Plus the bonding that we will do as we are there working together. And if you want to come, we are going to be staying at the Educational Center for Adventist Youth in San Salvador. you go through the gates of this facility and the standard of living goes way up. Compared between what's inside those gates and what's outside in the rest of the community, this is the Hilton. And when you go through this gate and you go about a block up on the left, one of the first buildings that you're going to see is this church. And if you compare this church to the other ones that we're building for the community, this church on the inside looks like one of ours here. It is far more elaborate than what we're building for the local people. If you go about another half a block up, you're going to find some dorm rooms. They have boys and girls dorms, and it's kind of hard to tell from this picture, but you have these wings that come together, and in the center you have this giant dome. It is a round room in the center, and then you have dorm rooms that go off in each direction. We are going to be staying in those dorms. Now, this dorm here with the yellow line going down it, this dorm was just recently renovated. They're beautiful inside. We're not staying in that. We're going to be staying in the one that is not renovated. But even though it's not renovated, this picture on the left shows a room. It's still a nice room. Got a brick wall. It's got tile floors. It's got beds. We're going to have the men and the women separated in different wings, unless you're married. Married couples will be allowed to stay together, but they'll be sharing rooms, 2, 3, 4 to a room, depending on how many people we have going. You can see the shower there. Most people in the community do not have running water in their house. They go to a community well. Over here on the right, you can see this tall cement building. That's where the water is in, and they have a pipe coming out, and people come and they bring their jugs and they fill up their water and they take it home. They don't have running water, but you will if you come. They even have a pool where we're staying. When we're done working for the day, you can go jump in the pool if you'd like. I didn't see any other pools in El Salvador. This is that round room in between the barrack dorm wings. This is where we will be meeting to have our prayer and devotions and any meetings that we have. This woman here, her name is Aurora. She is the coordinator for everything that we're doing. She'll be there. This gentleman here is Jack. Jack is going to be the person in charge of the building that we do. We're going to be building more than just that one church that I showed you the site. So there will be several that we will be building, but Jack's going to be in charge of all of it. This picture over here on the right is the cafeteria. Here's a picture of the inside. It's very simple. It's very plain. We were eating on plastic chairs. But you can see they've been renovating this building. They have brand new tiled floors. They have brand new ceilings. They still need to paint the walls. But they are improving this building. And the building is not the only thing that we're going to be doing while we are there. They're going to have a VBS while we were there. And I don't know exactly how many children are coming, but I would expect over 100. And so they're going to need people to help with VBS. They're planning on renovating those dorms while we're there. And so they're going to need people to paint walls. They need people. We're expecting to take a group of over 100 people with us between the four churches. And so we're going to need people to help cook the meals. They are planning more American diet type of meals than they are local diet meals. And so you'll be something that you're accustomed to. And so I am hoping and I am praying that you will prayerfully consider going with us. The second and perhaps the most important reason that I'm showing you all of this is because I want to ask you to please prayerfully consider giving so that we can raise $10,000 to build a church for them. I don't have an exact location for you yet. The Mount Pleasant people are raising money to build the one on the Apapa site, but there are many more. Many more. And so I want to encourage you to give. This is that Apapa site. Mark and I were both convicted that God wanted the Mount Pleasant Church to raise the money to build that church. And I'm asking you if you are willing to raise the money to build another one somewhere else. I would love to be able to go back to this site in March and dedicate the building. I would love to see that woman in the red who sold the land, who's dying of cancer. I'd love to see her standing in that building. And I'm sure there are many other stories for many other places. Now, I know that you might say, well, Pastor, I would love to give some money, but I just don't have any extra. I've got this bill and that bill and this. Please, I understand. I do. I assure you. But I also assure you that every single person here, compared to them, you are rich. Are you willing to give to a cause greater than yourself? Are you willing to keep the same car for another year? Are you willing to go without Christmas presents this year? Are you willing to forgo that vacation and give the money so that we can build them a building so that they can bring more people into the truth? Can you be like the widow that Jesus was talking about, who gave not out of her excess, but out of her need? And I want to say this to you, that I wouldn't ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. And so I have right here in my pocket a check that I'm going to give to Dorothy. I'm not going to tell you how much it is, but I'll tell you this, it's more than I can afford. But I can't afford not to give either. Because Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, sell what you have and give to the poor. And if I have to sell something, I'm going to give more. And I'm asking you, are you willing to join me? Are you willing to give so that we can help our brothers and sisters? And you might say, but Pastor, we need this in our church. We need that. Friends, if you could see the living conditions there, you would be embarrassed by what we have already. Are you willing to give? Won't you pray with me? Father in heaven, You own 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills, and You've already given a great deal of it to us. And now, Lord, You're looking for us and asking, what are we going to give back? What are we going to give to the least of these, Your brothers and sisters? Lord, I pray that You would impress upon every heart, every mind, what You would have us do. And I pray that we would give generously so that You would be able to say to us, because You did this to the least of my brothers, I will do this for You. That You would bless us, enrich us, help us to grow both spiritually and numerically as a result of our faithfulness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.